Blog Talk Radio.
In the mix. In the mix. We're online.
24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Oh my God.
I know you're gonna dig this.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another show.
Hola.
And this is Lindsay Lenz. Look, everybody, I gotta apologize. The reason we started late, because I had to go take a phone call, and Lindsay gave me the nastiest look. But look that she gave me, though. She didn't know. I had to go make some money. Look, Amazon called me. You know how to get their refund back. You know how it be. You know, look, everybody want their money, and Amazon owed me my money. I had to take that phone call.
That's what that was.
I'm ghetto. But you ghetto fabulous. So don't come for me. You know you out here.
As long as you're fabulous, good. Hello.
Oh. Anyway,
there's time for this show. I ain't got time for you today.
All right, first, wait.
Let's say congratulations to my mother, Beyonce, be herself.
Your mother. I need a DNA test. Since when?
That's not your business, okay? As long as she claims me.
She
delivered a boy, girl. So shout out to her and happy belated Father's Day to Jay-Z. Oh, I'm so excited. It's like the blueprint.
You claim Beyonce, but you didn't claim Jay-Z as your father. How you could just call him stepfather or something? I mean, you're gonna claim her. You gotta claim them all.
I did not claim him. I'm just focused on my mother at the moment. Thank you so much. So happy Father's Day to Jay-Z.
You ain't real. Jay-Z, you gotta respect the man. He's a GOAT. He's a great man. Matter of fact, he could be your father. He's helping bail out other fathers around, you know, around New York City. So he gave out money to charities like Southerners on New Ground and Color of Change. You know, they helped bail out mothers on Mother's Day. So he was like, why not help bail out fathers on Father's Day? You know, it's just the beginning, but he said it won't mark change, but it'll help out. It does a little dent. Something's better than nothing. Yeah.
And it's honestly, and I think it's perfect timing because, you know, Philando Castile's, the officer that was guilty of killing him in that, you know, whole car situation when he, you know, clearly had a seatbelt on, he basically got off and, you know, wasn't accused of anything. So, I mean, it was just perfect timing to see somebody just, you know, within the cultural world when it comes to music, like, step up and help out because, you know, even Lando Castile's mom was, like, hot, like, pissed off and just was saying, like, F the cops and all of that. And, you know, you can't help but imagine, like, how it feels, you know, or what it feels like to be so upset when you see justice is not, you know, brought to light and then someone, like, lost their life and they can't even come back with the officers still walking around and not even being accused of, like, you know, poor actions. So, I mean, it's just we got to support each other where we can because it's, like, you know, some people, I'm not going to lie, give up and they're, like, well, what's the point? You know, cops are still just killing us anyway. But, you know, for people like Jay-Z who step up and, you know, get people out of jail who, you know, are fathers or, you know, haven't even really done anything or it's just like minor charges, you know, and they just need money to get out. Like, we got to step up and help each other.
Most definitely. Didn't you tell me his mom, you know, kind of just lost it? Because, I mean, honestly, I would lose it too if the killer of my child, you know, is not convicted, like, man, I would lose it all.
Yeah. And, I mean, let's be honest, she has the right to be mad. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure with Tom, like, it'll get better as far as how she deals with it. And one thing I can say is, like, his death obviously is not in vain because it's bringing light, just like all the other situations, to, like, how really jacked up our, you know, system is. So it's just, like, I don't know. It's just we got to support each other where we can. And, you know, if you can chip in and help out or even, like, sometimes when I'm driving around my area, like, I'll see signs on the bench that basically says They're inviting people to have open discussions with, like, police officers about how, you know, we can deal with things better. So even if it's you calling in that number, you know, setting up the meeting with them and some of your friends, like, that's still taking a step. So it's just kind of like we have to be proactive and not, you know, up until, oh, it's one of our friends. Like, we got to be proactive beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, man. Who knows? Well, keep y'all updated with that.
I will say, though, some instances now, I'm surprised when other people get off for certain stuff. Like, and if Jay-Z would have had some role in, like, the Bill Cosby situation, then it would have been like, okay, hold on. But, you know,
technically,
he ended with a mistrial.
I know you had it, yeah. He ended with a mistrial, but, I mean, Bill Cosby is not off the hook yet. He still has 10 pending lawsuits against him. So, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Crazy if he gets out of all 10.
Look, if he gets out of all 10, I'm hiring his lawyer. I don't have anything. I don't have nothing, no lawsuits against me or anything. But if something ever happens to me, hey, that if he could get him off 10 lawsuits, he needs to be my lawyer. Anything I go against in life. Houses, cars, everything over.
I'm gonna be so amazed because I'm just like, I mean, on one end, it's like it's Bill Cosby. He's old, and you're just kind of like at this point, like hopefully Bill's not still out there doing it. And then you think it's like 50 different women doing it that, you know, were accusing him of this. So it's like, are y'all just doing this for attention? Because a lot of them don't have like actual proof, and they waited so long to say something, which is kind of wild to me. But at the same time, he's just so calm, and I don't know if he's calm because he feels innocent or if he's calm because it's like he knows he has a bomb lawyer. Because people, you know, have been joking with him and doing the whole Fat Albert thing, and he's, like, been saying it back and, like, smiling and stuff. So it's just like, I don't know. And you know what's funny? If Felicia Rashad, like, his wife on the show, would have stepped up and defended him, then I would have really been like, you know what, maybe he didn't do it. But if Felicia Rashad ain't stepped up yet,
nope. Gotta wait a minute. Y'all women ain't loyal. But nah, I see what you're saying. What? If you want to say something, you want to throw a little chat.
You got the nerve. We are probably the most loyal individuals, even when y'all act like dogs, but we're not going to go into that today. But continue.
You got something to get off your chest? You feeling froggy today?
I'm just saying the nerve. But continue.
You know I ain't got no sense. I'm start with you every show. You should be used to this by now. But I mean, did he actually cheat on his wife when they said, you know, him and one of the people in the trial, they actually, you know, they hooked up since, you know, the last accused rape, whatever. They even went out on dates, like I think she's 46. Is one of them 46 or in the 50s? One of the women. So did he cheat on her? Or did he, like, this is before?
I mean, I'm assuming so if he's going around, you know, pill raping women. But my thing is just, like, from a marriage standpoint, I mean, is that what they mean when they say he's do better or do worse? Like, even though he's broken his vows, like, are we still expecting her to, like, still stay by his side? You know what I mean? Like, if that was your wife and she was, like, going around pill popping guys and stuff, like, and she was cheating on you, would you still, like, be by her side to the death of you? Would you be like, girl, you know, you kind of surpassed the limitations?
Right. I feel like they got to go. That fool guilty. I'd have been in court. That fool guilty. Get her out of here. Get her. She got to go.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. He's that many women, I don't know. But, I mean, we'll see. You know, we'll follow the rest of the cases. But like I said, if he get off on all of those, boy, America is so skewed. And that's all I'm going to say. America is so skewed. But, you know, that's fine. Do you. But did you see the Tupac movie, though?
I did. I mean, did you see it?
No,
I want to wrote it for you if you
did. So, trust me, I will be fresh off the scene as soon as I get out. But, I've been hearing mixed reviews.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a little taste, just enough not to ruin it for you. When you're watching the movie, you're gonna look at some things like, is that true? Because I was googling like some stuff because I was like, dang, Tupac did all this. He did this and that. Like he shot at two cops and you know he got off. Like the girl who set him up.
The story. No.
You ain't know that. All right. Well, look. All right. But just know some parts in the movie gonna get you pissed off. And then a lot of people are saying, you know, like the director, he forced a lot of things. And when you see the movie, Lindsay, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Only thing else I'm going to ruin for you is, why was Deshaun Jackson in the movie? He had zero relevance to the movie. He was like a little drug, like a drug dealer.
Was he acting like a character, or what was he doing?
He had like a little one minute scene. It was like, why even put him in here? Like, you could put a random actor here. Why put him in there? And then like Snoop Dogg's character, it sounded just like a voiceover. That was the worst character you could have chose to Snoop Dogg. Terrible. Terrible.
See, I always wonder when they make these movies for the celebrities that are still like alive, like, do they have any say of who plays them? Because it just seems like they just be throwing anything together and everybody else should just be like cool with it. And like Benny Boone was the director, but he's known for doing mostly like music videos and stuff. So I know a lot of people were saying, as far as the historical aspect of things being accurate for the movie, were off. Like, they were like, you know, one guy has like an iPhone in his hand. Like, how? I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure iPhone wasn't out back then, so that's confusing. And then what's even more upsetting is, you know, people were always curious about Jada Pinkett Smith's relationship with, you know, Tupac, because they went to school together in Baltimore. But she was just basically saying, you know, forgive me, my relationship to Pac is too precious to me for the scenes and All Eyes on Me to stand this truth. She was like, Pac never read her that poem. She didn't even know it existed until it was printed in the book. And, you know, she was like, he never said goodbye to her before leaving L.A., and they never had an argument backstage. So I just feel like, do you feel like when it's a biopic that it should be, like, true to, like, every detail, or do you think they should stretch it a little bit? Because I feel like his life would have still been interesting regardless. But, you know, in that case, if Jada Pinkett is still alive and you're stretching it where certain things aren't true, but it's a biopic, it's kind of like, okay, I don't know what to believe now.
Right. No, you shouldn't stretch it the truth. Like, when you watch the movie, they're going to show that in the beginning where Tupac reads her the note. And you can be like, why did they force that? I mean, cool. It was granted. It was a little touching scene, blah, blah, blah. But why even lie for it? Like, the director even came out, you know, he responded to all the stuff saying he made magic. He made the truth. But, like, bro, you kind of exaggerated the truth. Right.
Like, okay.
I understand.
Sense would tell you to ask the people that are still alive if you want the quote unquote truth. That's the part I don't understand. I feel like half of the people go based on like what they read in the blogs and the news and what they've read out of a book. But like, the only people who are going to be able to tell you the truth were the people who lived it and were there with him, you know? So it's just kind of like, how accurate is this really about to be if you didn't even go to the main sources? Like, I just don't understand.
That's about to say right there. The main sources. He said he went to the family. He said the people that eat dinner with him all the time is the people, you know, that told him they loved it and blah, blah, blah. Then he goes on to say, this movie, quote, unquote, I don't agree what he said, but he says, quote, I created the Holy Trinity. Negro, this movie was not that good. He said it all came from the truth. Like, bro, NWA was great.
And that was true.
The Biggie movie was great. Compared now, this movie compared to those two, no. Yeah, I liked the movie, yes, but I felt like there's a lot of parts missing, a lot of parts asking me why, and a lot of parts asking me, like, you know, leave me with questions. Like, why? Well, what's next? Why he do this? I feel like it should be like a longer movie, or they should have took their time and waited next year for it to come out, or do like, you know, New Edition did, like a little 5-part series. Granted, you can't do that with the movies. But somehow figure out a way to tell Tupac's life. He's a dope character. And I feel like you got to tell it in a better way than I have been told.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I'll see tonight what it's about. But I feel bad because now I feel like I'm going to be looking for, like, inaccurate depictions in the movie of stuff that was not going on back
then. You are. I'm just going to let you know, the movie is 2 hours long, though. It's not going to seem like it, but you're going to know when it's about to end. Because it's like, the way it does is like, you know, it's climax, and then you just fall off the cliff and the movie ends. I'm like, what the hell? But.
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we can't expect everything to be so accurate when it comes to the celebrity world. Because, you know, some stuff to some extent is glamorized. Like, for example, Kim K came out with her new contour kit, you know, I guess after her sister had so much success with her, you know, lip kit line and all of that. Kim, you know, decided, hey, I want to step into the makeup world. But the problem is her contour kit in her image that they show as an example of what it'll look like, Kim almost looks like she's trying to look brown skin, if that makes sense. It's so much contouring going on that it's like she was really going for this, you know, tan of a black girl. So a lot of people were accusing her of blackface. I wouldn't go to that extent. I mean, her, like you blatantly know when somebody's doing blackface. Like, your whole face would be, you know, covered up. And, you know, historically, you've seen the pictures back in the day of how they tried to portray, you know, African-Americans. And mostly it was, like, you know, white Americans who were doing it. But I do feel like, to some extent, the contour kit is breaching. For men who don't know what contouring is, for all those girls you see with those...
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
And they have, like, the real structured-looking nose all of a sudden, and they didn't have surgery. That's what the contouring is. So when they try to make their cheeks and nose and everything else and their forehead just look real, like, chiseled and defined. And, you know, to each his own, but it should never be done to a way that you, like, altered your skin color, and which she's kind of done. So I personally won't be purchasing it just because I'm already pretty brown enough. So I think I can do without the contour kit. And if my face is not chiseled in that way at this point, it's just not going to be. But, you know, do you feel like for the Kardashians, it's kind of hard for them to escape scrutiny when it comes to trying to imitate the black culture? Or, you know, do you think
they can't represent the black culture, and they can't, honestly, I don't think they can represent what the picture perfect, you know, woman should look like, because at the end of the day, they've had a lot of plastic surgery done. We can't forget about that. Granted, they do look good without it, but they felt like they didn't look good in their natural state, so they got plastic surgery. So, I mean, do you feel like they represent, you know, what the woman should look like? I honestly don't, but they look good still. No. I still date them, you know.
I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday. Honestly, okay, put it this way. To each his own. I feel like some people, they desire, you know, to wear makeup more than others. So to some people, this quote-unquote, you know, overdoing it with the makeup and stuff is what they desire to look like. But they got to understand, at the end of the day, these are celebrities. Like, you're Monday through Friday, you're not doing the same things that they are. Now, if that's your profession, and you're a makeup artist, or you're some type of, you know, musical artist or whatever in general, or actor, that makes sense. But, like, your everyday girl, like, honey, after a while, all that makeup and stuff is going to start wearing on your face. And, you know, for the girls who get the injections in their face and this, that, and the third, it's one thing to enhance something, but I feel like a lot of women now, and especially the younger girls who haven't even, like, finished developing, so you don't even know what your face could have potentially looked like, they're altering things, you know, based on what society is saying is beautiful. And I feel like no matter how much work you get done, if you don't have confidence or feel beautiful about yourself just internally, it doesn't matter what you do, like, alteration-wise, you're still not going to be happy. And then also, you're never going to look like that person. So for all those who are striving so hard to look like Kim K, it's genetically impossible. It's just not going to happen. So you probably should just start accepting you first. But, like, the women who I think are beautiful are just the ones who naturally just got it. Like, Zoe Saldana, to me, is just, like, gorgeous. Like, she doesn't alter a lot to her face or anything like that. Like, women like that, just be happy in yourself, and she exudes confidence. So I just think as women, we need to refocus what we glamorize as, like, the ideal woman. Like, do guys even do that? Do y'all have certain guys that y'all look at and be like, yo, we're trying to look like Shamar Moore or Morris Chestnut, or y'all kind of look like,
you know? No. Okay. We don't try to look like someone. We try to, you know, be like someone, or we try to follow in their footsteps, or, you know, we try to keep on their legacy or something like that. That's what we try to do. For example, I mean, all right, look at Young Thug. He's trying to be the new Tupac. When, quote, unquote, I don't know how he's a new Tupac. I don't even know. He doesn't even rap as good as Tupac. Matter of fact, he doesn't have a following like Tupac. But, I mean, he said, you know, he dropped his album on Tupac's birthday because he felt like he's the thug that Tupac couldn't be. Granted, he, you know, he's going to finish what Tupac started. Man, look. Right. You're not Tupac caliber.
I don't see the connection, not even a little bit. I'm like,
no.
Tupac would never wear a dress. That's number one. Number two,
right?
Tupac was very, like, culturally awoke, like, when it came to politics, what was going on in the world, and, like, just I think the way he carried himself and how he spoke to the truth about things that a lot of people would ignore or overlook because they were just so fixated on being a rapper, he actually used his platform to help bring light to certain situations. And not saying that Young Thug doesn't bring people together, but on that aspect, I've never really seen him speak on politics or anything going on culturally in society, or I've never seen it. So I'm just like, I don't understand the connection. Maybe it's just because you have Thug in your name, but I don't see the underlying connection here. So
He tripping. You know,
let's not reach. Can we just let certain people, when they are passed on, just have their legacy and be done? I hate when certain people like, well, I'm the next, this and the third. How about you just be you? Because even there was some like picture floating around of like Selena Gomez, and they said, oh, she looks just like Aaliyah here. How about she looks like Selena and Aaliyah looks like Aaliyah? Like, let's just be done, start your own legacy and keep it pushing. But like trying to assume a title that in real life you probably wouldn't have gotten had that person been here. Yeah, I feel like it's reaching. So
Reaching a lot. But Lindsay, what time is it? You know what time it is. Best part of the show.
Time to eat.
It's time to eat these sports. I'm gonna get a theme song with sports. You, I'm working on it. You just wait. It's coming. Well, I'm gonna start with this. I'm gonna start with a little bit. Paul George is officially told the Pacers he wants to trade. He's gonna be gone by next year. He is out the door. He does not want to be a Pacer no more. He wants to go to LA. Now, you know, even though he wants to go back home to LA, Cleveland is like, no, hold up, player. Come join us. Come be with LeBron. You know, we are a dynasty. Come win that championship. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen because of cap space, blah, blah, blah. But they might have to get rid of, you know, K-Love. Do you think get rid of K-Love is going to mess up, you know, that little dynasty they have there? Or can they figure it out and somehow keep the three superstars they got now and add Paul George and be like, you know, the Warriors did last year? They got rid of majority of the bench to get KD. Could they do the same?
Right.
So what do you think, Lindsay? You think if they did that, do they have a chance to beat the Warriors?
To me, at this point, it feels like it really is dependent on people's egos, because, you know, for the longest, like, people were upset, obviously, with KD for, you know, even going to the Warriors. But if you work with people, like, you know, no shade to, like, say, for example, a Russell Westbrook or something like that, and you got people who are very dominant in how they play and they're not really necessarily a team player and it's kind of about them, like, you can't really expect it to work when you try to have them and, like, other people. And I think that's why Golden State did so good this year, because it was, like, you could tell Steph was still good in his own aspect, but, like, you could tell sometimes he would pull back a little bit, you know, to give KD some shine, or they played together. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, like, one side that overpowered the other. So it just really depends on egos. If they, you know, can figure it out where they can play together and not one person is trying to be, you know, the all-star over the next, then, you know, it's a chance. But if not, no, it's not going to happen. Everybody wants to be a superstar at this point.
They do want to be a superstar, but KD is finally, you know, I don't know if it's Wi-Fi, finally cut back on. He said he was on a plane, so he got no Wi-Fi. He's been celebrating. KD finally responded to Twitter and all his fans who said he was a sellout. He, you know, responded to someone, had a Twitter name, Russell Westbrook MVP, responded to her, and she said KD F one of her friends and he's a loser and this and this. He responded to some other people. They were saying, you know, you're a sellout. You, why don't you be like Kobe and, you know, go in the gym and work hard? And he was like, bro, you wasn't shooting with me in the gym. You don't know that. Like, he was just going in and on. He responded to every last one of his Twitter followers. Not every last, but probably a good 85% of them who took shots at him. He responded. And KD, his response was kind of petty. They were kind of like, come on, KD. Like, that's your best response you got there. And my thing is, Lindsay, do you feel like he has to explain himself? That's what I'm saying. Do you feel like you have to explain yourself? You're a grown man. You just won your championship.
No,
these people can't hoop.
A whole ring, a whole family. And honestly, for me personally, seeing how his mom reacted alone would have been enough for me to not give a care in the world. Like, at the end of the day, we live in a world where you got two different mindsets. Some people feel like you have to please everybody in order to reach some level of significance. And you got other people who know at the end of the day, I don't care about pleasing anybody else but my family, God, and myself. So
you
just got to
tell him. You better tell him.
You so petty. You gotta ask yourself what's more important at the end of the day, because like, you don't go home to these people. They don't pay your bills. They're not putting any, you know, clothes or shoes on your, like, back. And people can be like, oh, well, I buy tickets to the game. Okay, but obviously you're not, like, a heavy KD supporter. And even honestly, even if they are still supporting you, they still look dumb because they're talking all this trash about you, but they're still going to see you play. So either way, you're still eating. So you got to ask yourself, like, why would I even care? Like, for what? I got my ring, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Since we're running low on time, we got to move on a little bit from basketball to boxing. So, you know, Floyd was retired. Not retired, but he was chilling, you know. But Conor McGregor, you know, was running that mouth, saying he could beat Floyd. So, you know what? Floyd was like, come on, let's do this. So, the fight is set for late August, early September against Conor McGregor. If y'all don't know who he is, he's a UFC fighter. So, granted, Floyd is a boxer. UFC and boxing don't mix because UFC, you know, you fight. There's no rules. You kick, you know, do whatever you want to do. So if Conor reaches 1 foot, kicks him one time, he's disqualified. Fight is over. Now Conor really thinks he has a chance to beat Floyd. Floyd is 49-0. Do you really think? I'm sorry, he's not a UFC fighter. He's an MMA fighter. Same thing, basically. You really think an MMA fighter can beat a boxer? No.
Here's my thing. I feel like they know that Conor is bound to lift his leg, though. How do you, you know, do a sport where you used to for so long using your feet and just all of a sudden you expecting this person, say, for example, if, like, Floyd really started giving him the work and you just think he won't be tempted to lift his leg, like, I don't know. I feel like they already kind of know how this is going to pan out, so... Yeah, I don't know. Because, I mean, when you think about it, for Floyd, for him to be undefeated, I doubt he would jump back into the ring if he really felt like he had a chance of losing his title. Let's be honest. Because they will always say, you know, for a majority of his fights, he was able to, you know, pick his opponent. So it's kind of like, I don't think he would choose somebody that really was going to, like, jeopardize him being undefeated.
Right.
Especially when he's in retirement and everything. Nah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all a marketing strategy. Floyd knows what he's doing. He's going to get that money. They probably both have talked about it. They're going to get paid mm-hmm. at the end of the day. I feel like after this fight, win or lose, Floyd will retire. Like, he really will be done for good.
For sure. Because, I mean, who else is there out there for him to even, you know, fight with, honestly?
It's always somebody they want to challenge that fool. Always. Someone.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's actually worth fighting. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are plenty of people who talk, and it's like they can't even hold their own where they're at. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lindsay, you want to bring us home?
You don't
good
have a
question
this week, Terrence.
What?
Last week.
I do. What you want one for me? I can give you one if you want one.
Oh, it's okay. I just wanted to see
if he's going to say something. You know, I got one for you.
Okay.
You know, 1 Samuel 2, verse 6-7. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings you down to the grave and rises you up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exits. Now, Lindsay, since you want to ask me for a word, why don't you decode that? Huh?
Okay, so you want me to follow up?
Yeah, go ahead, decode it. Go ahead. What you want to?
So, hold up. Before that, let me give you a word on my end. We know we'll double it up. Mine is from Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So, Just going to drop some gems for y'all this week. But honestly, over everything, like, just because, let's be honest, the world is, like, super crazy right now. Do your best not to live in fear, because you don't want to spend your days living based on, you know, people who don't have a say of whether you stay on this earth or not or where you go afterwards. You know, even when we talk about the people who scrutinize Katie and whatnot. But just, you know, really stay focused on being positive, being, like, prosperous and supporting those around you, because honestly, at the end of the day, we all whether we realize it or not, contribute to the growth of one another. You know, whether you know people or not, you know, from the people who are servicing you or, you know, to the friends and family around you. So just, you know, move with a conscious mind of those around you and just make better decisions for yourself, because at the end of the day, you do have control and you do have some say of how things pan out, whether it's you being in the wrong place at the wrong time or affiliating with certain people who ain't, you know, ain't shit. So just, you know, keep that in mind.
Ain't shit, folks. Always try. Look, people always try to bring you down. Just remember, everyone has the same 24 hours in a day. They can't get mad at you for you doing something good and they sit on the couch eating some potato chips getting fat. Okay, look, you live your life or you want to live it.
Not potato chips.
I was saying the country, tater chips. You know, we don't even pronounce the P-O, tater chips.
I should not. On that note, that's all I got for y'all. But everybody, have a great week. I am your host, Lindsay Lenz. T, you got anything else for the people?
Nah, man, y'all be blessed. And Lindsay, let me know what you think about this movie. I'm telling you, you're going to text me tonight and be like, you was right. The movie pissed me off.
I got you. And I'll be tweeting about it. So if y'all have any comments for us, feel free. Hit us up, all of our social media platforms. So much love, y'all. I'm Lindsay Lenz.
I'm your host, T. Y'all be blessed and have a great week. Peace.